Welcome in, Tiger fans. Another week of Play-by-Play presented by your friends at The Advocate, along with our producer, Harrison Valentine, the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair. Another busy week behind us, another busy week ahead of us as we kind of get you up to speed on what's happening here with LSU Athletics. And then a little later in the show, going to have Andrew Nelson, head coach of LSU Men's Golf, going to stop by as their season about to get underway. But let's start with women's basketball. I mentioned what's behind us, but also how big things are in front of us, and I don't know that it gets any bigger than the matchup coming up on Thursday, which we will get to, Ken. But I know on Monday, LSU women's basketball moves up a spot in the poll. They're going to go from number 10 to number 9. No surprise, because they had two really impressive wins this past week, 78-58 on the road against Alabama, and then a 98-68 blowout win over Arkansas, which that game was over in the first 8 minutes. How long did it take them to go 18-0?
That may be being generous.
I don't remember. I just know I looked up and it was 18-0 LSU. And Coach Mulkey and company did not look back in that win over Arkansas. Haley Van Lith, Michaela Williams, each with 20-plus points on Sunday. Angel Reese, another double-double, her 11th double-double of the season. And, you know, just impressive wins. I mean, they had the tough setback at Auburn. Didn't play their best, obviously. And Auburn, you know, is when you're the national champion, as Coach Mulkey talks about, you're going to get everybody's best shot. And Auburn put it all together in that game. But since then, boy, the women's basketball team looks locked in.
Well, the second half against Alabama was really strong. And all five starters Sunday in double figures in that game with Arkansas. And you're right, it was over from the beginning. LSU with a couple of early threes, just some defensive plays that led to transition buckets, and you're right, it was 18-0, and you could pretty much go get some more popcorn at that point.
Well, again, they'll prepare now after the win over Arkansas, a couple of days in preparation for a huge showdown, marquee matchup. It'll be number 1 versus number 9 inside the Maravich Center Thursday night, 7 o'clock tip time. It is Kim Mulkey, Dawn Staley, LSU, South Carolina, College Game Day coming to Baton Rouge, because this game is going to be, I mean, it's got a feel of a March-type game, although there's still a lot of conference play left. It's a big one on Thursday.
It really is. And I mean, it just seems when the words College Game Day are mentioned, it means it's a huge, huge basketball game. And this will be the first time College Game Day has come back to Baton Rouge since 2007, when they came for the men's LSU-UConn game. This will be a huge deal. And I know Grant and all the gang in the operations and communications are they're running around a little bit, because there's a lot going on to get ready for something like this. And it'll be fun. They're going to have a little plaza party early in the afternoon. They're going to open the gates earlier so people can be in the arena for College Game Day. And it's just going to be a festive atmosphere. This will be one where Showtime, the Showtime label that the team has, will be in full effect, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Big time night for women's college basketball, and it all happens the epicenter right here in Baton Rouge. And as Kent said, there's a lot of activities planned well before the 7 o'clock start. So not that I have to tell LSU fans, because I'm sure they've circled this date when the schedule came out. But go ahead and make plans to get here early and take in everything that is College Game Day and LSU and South Carolina. Again, LSU 18-2 overall. They are now 5-1 in the SEC. Men's basketball, kind of a mixed bag week, but I guess the highlight obviously is the win over number 22 Ole Miss Wednesday, 89-80. I said it on the radio, Kent, the signature SEC win for Coach Matt McMahon. I know he tried to downplay it because he knows there's a long conference schedule ahead of him, but he was very proud of his team's effort. Ole Miss, only their second loss on the year. They now have three as they ran into Bruce Pearl and that Auburn buzzsaw over the weekend. But a big win for LSU, and I think really opened the eyes of some Tiger basketball fans, as you know, it was a late arriving crowd, but those that were there not only saw the Tigers win, but I thought saw an excellent college basketball game.
Yeah, they did. And you know, Ole Miss has some talent. They did a good job with the portal and getting some new people in there to go with some of the ones that Kermit Davis had the year before, but very good basketball game. LSU, again, second half start to that game kind of made the difference, and just a really good effort. Jordan Wright had another great game in there with game that was his 14th. He ended up having 15th consecutive double figure game on Saturday against A&M, but really some good play by LSU, good heady play by LSU that made the difference in that game.
Yeah, and I mean, if you listen to Coach McMahon and any of his media outings leading up to that matchup, what was so impressive to me was that the game plan was laid out, and Coach McMahon had three or four major points that if we can pull this off, we can go execute this, we will win this game against a team who had only lost once all season. And the guys went out and executed to a T. I mean, we were watching it happen in front of our very eyes, and I couldn't be prouder of the team this past Wednesday. Now, on Saturday, they were back at home taking on Texas A&M, kind of a unique schedule situation where we opened conference play with them on January 6th, and then 2 weeks later to the day, you're playing them again. Some people say that's good. Some people say it's bad, but it is what it is, and that's kind of the approach that Coach McMahon and company took. But in the first meeting, as you all remember, we talked about it here. They dominated the glass, did LSU. We were hoping they could go over there and hold their own because A&M's the best offensive rebounding team in the country at about 19 per game, and LSU just dominated. But that was going to be what had to be done on Saturday. And unfortunately, Texas A&M rebounded. They miss a lot of shots. They're not a great shooting team, but they were able to rebound their misses, which ultimately makes the difference in a field goal stat when you're rebounding your misses at 40%. And they got away with the win 73-69. Now, the tough part, Kent, and I know Coach talked to us on the radio after the game, is that you had the two games at home. And you always want to, you know, win serve at home. But then the way the schedule lines up this week, both games on the road.
Right.
Doable, winnable games, don't get me wrong. You take on Georgia on Wednesday and then to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama on Saturday. But you almost, I don't want to say must win because there's 13 more conference games, but losing this one at home, a win that kind of slipped out of your fingers against Texas A&M, you kind of feel like you got to go get one of these road games this week. Be great to get both, and it's doable, as I said, but you got to get one.
Well, you kind of at this point after five games are holding serve because you have the A&M win on the road, which kind of negates the other one. But now, yeah, two games on the road before you have a bye week that will give you a chance to kind of reset heading into the month of February. You know, the amazing things from that A&M game were just a total flip of the script in that you had an 18-3 advantage in second chance points in College Station, and then A&M did exactly what they'd been doing all year, leading the nation in offensive rebounds, that leads you to 27-0 in second chance points, which is an amazing number. And also, I was noticing earlier today when I was working on some notes, you look back at the two games with A&M, that's probably the two games with our fewest free throw attempts of any games this season. We were 8 of 10 there. We were 8 of 11, I believe it was, Saturday. You know, and it's just amazing that they're able to get to the free throw line a lot more off of those offensive rebounds than an LSU just wasn't able to get to a number that has been good for them, because they've been averaging like 22 attempts a game so far this season. So a couple of interesting stat turns in that game that I'm sure they'll be discussed in film and practice as we move forward. But yeah, that's a big game Wednesday night. Georgia's having a very good season themselves under Mike White in his second year. They're 3-2 as well in the league. So I think that'll be a very interesting contest Wednesday night. It's 5:30 Central Time, early start time in the Central Time.
Yeah, I was impressed with Georgia on Saturday. They played at Rupp Arena against Kentucky when they were honoring the 1984 Kentucky team. They had a bunch of those guys back, Sam Bowie, Jim Masters, Roger Harden, Dickie Beal. It was a big celebration there at Rupp, and it looked like Kentucky was going to take the basketball and just run away with it. And they did for most of the game, and then lo and behold, Georgia didn't quit. They kept swinging and made it a little interesting going into the final moments of that game, ultimately losing to Kentucky. But just a quick note, Georgia eighth in the SEC in scoring offense at about 77 points a game, and they're eighth in defense, giving up about 72 points a game. LSU ninth in field goal percentage, sixth in defense field goal percentage, or in scoring, I should say, at 77 points, but holding teams a little lower on the scoring total. So a lot of evenness between Georgia and LSU.
Should
and
you be
got,
a good one.
Yeah, and you got to give a little favor to being at Stegman Coliseum, but LSU's going to go over there. And again, chance to get a win on the road. Before we wrap up on this first segment and then get to LSU men's golf, let's talk about LSU gymnastics. 4-1 on the season, 1-0 in the SEC. Great night this past Friday. Number 8 LSU, number 6 Kentucky. And it was going to take an incredible effort by LSU to get the win there, and that's exactly what the ladies delivered. It was fun to watch.
198 score. I mean, that was amazing to watch. You and I were both there for that one, and it was just amazing. Kentucky had a great score, which will really help them in the regional qualifying type numbers, because it was a road number. They were over 197, so LSU needed a lot of it, but they hit the routines. The beam was really good. That's been kind of a little bit of a struggle, and then that floor by the six athletes. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
just impressive.
It was exciting to watch, because Kentucky on the bars was really good, and LSU had the vault to start, and Kentucky had the bars, and it was back and forth. You knew early that this one was going to be tight, but as Kent said, I think the performance by LSU on the beam and then to finish on the floor, they were just spectacular. And again, that 198-125 number, marking the highest score by any team in the country through three meets, highest score by any SEC team so far this year. So just an all-around great performance, and congratulations to Jay Clark, his 50th win since becoming head coach of LSU Gymnastics. So, again, congratulations to him. Congratulations to the team. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. LSU men's golf, they're going to start the second part of their season coming up in, we'll say early to mid-February. And Andrew Nelson, coach of LSU men's golf, is going to join us right here after this quick break on Play-By-Play. Welcome back into this week's Play-By-Play, presented by our friends at The Advocate. We got a lot of sports going on here at LSU, which we told you about in the first segment. And as I mentioned before we went to our quick break, that LSU men's golf, they're going to get underway coming up very soon. As January is completely blown by, February 12th, they'll get started in Mobile. And as we told you, we're excited to have Andrew Nelson, interim head coach of LSU men's golf, going to join us. And Kent, it's that time of year, because we've got the 2 to 3 days of winter in Baton Rouge behind us, I believe. Now we're headed to spring. So, Coach, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on everything thus far. And I know you're ready to go and get the guys ready to go coming up on the 12th.
I appreciate that, and I'm glad to be here with y'all today. It's good to be here.
You know, it is kind of the one thing. It's like the same thing in tennis, kind of. It's almost two separate seasons that all go together in college golf, because you've had a fall season, you've had a break, you've had now getting ready for your spring season. I'm just curious as a coach, and I mean, you know, and as a former golfer, I mean, how much do you expect your guys to do stuff over the break? I mean, to keep in shape, to keep playing as much as they can. I've seen footage of Ingrid and some of the Swedish golfers all bundled up over in Sweden trying to hit in this bay when it's snowing and all this. So, I mean, they're trying to do stuff. But, I mean, how much do you expect them to continue to stay sharp in their game before they came back to LSU this week?
Yeah, Kent, that's a real question and a real part of this deal. It's one long season with a long halftime or two separate seasons. There's two ways to look at it. I do expect them to come back very sharp, but there's also a piece of finishing in late October and getting away from it, because that's really the first time all year that they get to slow down for a little bit. And sometimes that a refresh and a chance to get away from it for a little bit can be a great thing mentally, physically. And then late in, you know, December, early January, they really start working hard at it because they know what's coming. There's a whole nother year of golf ahead, and it's time to get after it and get ready. And our guys come back and they look good. We're tightening some things up, but they look good and ready to play.
And you got a little momentum coming into this spring because of what you did in that dominating win at the end of the fall that you guys had.
There's certainly momentum, and there's excitement around the team and the program. The guys, we had a good fall. We won twice. Yeah. We finished the fall with a good win. It's great to leave like that when you're playing, going into the last round, knowing you have a chance to win, and to go do it and then pull away and win big is a good thing. So a lot of guys that were there got to feel that. The guys at home when we came back and met as a team got to feel that. And there is an excitement of that's where we belong, and that's what we're looking to go do as we move forward.
I'm not going to get into with you, Chris, all the wonderful, I use very sarcastically, things that happened in college golf in the fall with the rankings that went to a new company that couldn't handle it, and it ended up with another company, and a professor in Columbia University is now doing the college golf rankings that finally came out in the middle of November, and it's hard to tell what's good and what's not good in the rankings because of the system. Now they've already been adjusted because the golf coaches didn't like the way they were done the first time. But LSU is ranked in men in that 25-30 category, and you're right in with what happened in the fall of this team, right in the talk of teams that are going to be potential candidates for a very good year going into the spring.
Yeah, that's where we are. And there is a little bit of a mess that went on with all of the
I thought Kent did a good job of giving
it. Kinder than what I wanted to say.
I'm going to be kind on it because they're dealing with enough issues. But the truth of it is, if you're a good golf team and you show up and play good golf each week, the rankings will take care of themselves. If they don't, there's going to be a lot more people even more mad. But I believe they're going to work out, and that we need to do our job and go play. We are right in that 25-30 window through the fall, and I believe that the team we have is a very good team, and we got a chance to continue what we finished up with in the fall and continue that into the spring and go and play some great golf. And that's where we're headed.
Of course, you've got, as Chris mentioned, starting in Mobile. I'm sorry you're not going to Puerto Rico like the women are, but you know,
Mobile's great. They changed that up. We'll join them. They changed that to a men's and women's deal. We'll go with them.
Mobile's great in February, but you do have a great schedule, though. You're going to San Diego. Your fans will get to see you over in the Lafayette area.
Yeah, they will.
In March, and that's always a very good tournament over there. And the big thing is, and most important thing, you're hosting an NCAA regional at the University Club, LSU is, and that's a big opportunity. And percentage-wise, host teams do very well and get a good chance to advance when they host, but it's such a great opportunity for our fans to see you and for your guys to play a course they're very familiar with.
Yeah, hosting the regional is a big deal to all of us, to our fans, to LSU, to our players, to myself. It's a big deal. I'm thankful for that opportunity. Our spring season is good. We have a lot of good events. We have some events close to home, which is a fun thing. Same reason, for our players, for our fans. We don't get to play home and away matches or games, and we do have a lot of people that want to come watch and support and cheer on. And when we play in Mobile and Lafayette and then even at Texas A&M, there's opportunities. And then we're going to be here hosting a regional, and it's a big deal. It's going to be fun. We cannot wait to get there, and looking to build all through the spring, so we're playing great golf when we're here at the University Club.
Andrew Nelson leading LSU men's golf, and you know, I was looking back, and you guys touched on it, Kent brought it up. The performance at the Everett in Little Rock, and as you said, you got that little break now before you start in Mobile. When you look back at the first part of the season in the fall, kind of what are the big picture items that are up on your whiteboard that, guys, this is where we can really make some improvement into the spring season? What are the things you're looking forward to maybe get better at?
Yeah, big picture items is having the whole group playing really good golf. We had some guys who weren't playing, who weren't really right and ready to be playing. A bigger piece of that is competing going into these spring events, playing some very competitive qualifiers with a healthy group of young men who are ready to go get after it. I think that inter-team competition will help get us ready to have the right lineup when we go play and to go compete at a very high level. If you go through our qualifiers of 10, 11 guys and are playing well, you're going to be ready to go play on the road. That's a big piece of this. We have some guys who played really good. We had some guys that weren't quite right in the fall, and they're in a much better space with their game right now. They're ready to go.
You know, Kent obviously knows, and you know, when we follow LSU men's golf, you talk about the student athletes. I mean, give us some of the names. Who are we going to be looking for, and who do you expect we'll be reading about as the spring season goes on?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with Connor Gaunt. Connor played great all fall. Connor's been a very talented player and a leader, but someone who's grown into a young man who's ready to go play golf at the next level. He had a great fall. He's on the Haskins Award list, which is for the top male collegiate player in college golf, and he has earned every bit of that. He's on that list, so people know his name and are looking for him, and we should all expect to be seeing his name at the top of that list. Drew Doyle is healthy and spent a good amount of time in Florida over the break and is ready to play some golf. We should be seeing his name. I know, you know, Alex Price came in and is a new name for the Tigers here, but we should see him playing. And Jay Mendel from Lafayette, we saw him as a freshman all through the fall. I would expect to see his name. Along with, you know, Lance Yates came in for a year. We've seen his name. There's some guys who are hungry and who are ready. Who are ready to go and ready to compete. And, you know, Luke Haskew's been working his butt off. He's ready to go play. Can't wait to get out there and play some golf. So a lot of good talent, a lot of good players who want to go. They want to go play right now. It's that time.
You know, I was looking at the roster earlier this morning, and as you pointed out, you mentioned some guys who, you know, obviously says a lot about LSU golf that they get maybe a year or two or maybe their final year of eligibility in NCAA and they transfer here. And we hear about the transfer portal all the time. I mean, how many times a week on the show, Ken, are we talking transfer portal with all sports? I mean, that's just part of what it is. In college golf, you know, would it surprise people when you look at the numbers as far as is the transfer portal as important to you as a coach, bringing players in and watching what's going on around the country as it is for Brian Kelly and Jay Johnson and Kim Mulkey? I mean, what's the transfer portal like in college golf?
It's important, and it's just as real in college golf as it is across the board. I mean, there's a lot of kids in there year in, year out, looking for their opportunity and their time to shine. And from my standpoint, the other side of it, to go help a team, maybe there's a missing piece there. Hey, we get this one other player. We have a good group. We had one more player who's a player, who's competed in college golf, who's won in college golf, who's prove that they can go do it, you can go from a, you know, a top 20 team to a team playing, competing for a national championship. You see it all across our sport. There's really talented players out there looking for an opportunity to go to a place like an LSU and go show what they have to offer and can change the dynamic there. A bigger piece is golf is a small group. You got 8 or 9 or 10. So bringing in the right person too. Typically coming in to take someone's job. They need to be the right fit and mesh well with your team. That part plays in as well.
You know, I'm looking at the stats from the fall. I mean, 69, 71, 71, 71, 71 for averages in the fall. I mean, I can understand what you're saying about the qualifying because, I mean, you got to play good. I mean, you can't just kind of hack it around to be in that group that goes to the next tournament. I see what you're saying, you know, about how tough the qualifiers can be.
They can be, and you can't hack it around. And part of that is that to go play on the road and then at the next level and at an NCAA regional, you have to be tested. You're not going to get handed anything in this game. Every time out, you got to go play. If your game's not sharp, I can't tell you, hey, just play good defense tonight. Like, it's on you to figure it out, manage your game, manage your emotions, and shoot the lowest score you can. Having a deep team, having a team of 10, 11 guys playing week in, week out can only help us get a little bit sharper and tougher and ultimately better, and that's what we're looking for. When all these kids come into play here at LSU, they're coming here to tee it up for the Tigers. They're also coming here to get better so they can go play in the future, go play on tour one day. So the qualifying piece is it's just another tournament. It's a small tournament. It's a 11-man field, but it's another tournament and a chance to go show what they have and go rise to the top. If you do that, you're going to be playing.
Let's swing a little bit to current things in college golf and professionally, if we could. Yesterday, or as we tape yesterday, Sunday at the American Express, Nick Dunlap, an amateur from Alabama, wins the tournament. Unfortunately, Sam Burns right in the mix, the former Tiger star, and just bad tee shot on 17 that went in the water, took him out of the lead. But here's an amateur winning a pro event for the first time since Phil Mickelson won in, what was it, 91, 81, whatever it was. But I think it again proves how men's college golf is really a good feeder to the PGA Tour. In the women's game, you see a lot more of the players not going to college or going a year and then going on to the LPGA Tour, and there's so many late teen stars in that. But in the PGA, you have so many golfers that come from good college programs onto the PGA, and I think this is just another example of how good college golf is, not only in our conference but in the country, as to what happened yesterday on the PGA Tour.
Go see the guys at Subaru of Baton Rouge for your new or pre-owned vehicle. They have a large selection of new, certified, and pre-owned vehicles to fit any budget. The Subaru of Baton Rouge family will treat you right and make your purchase experience an easy one. Visit Subaru online at SubaruBR.com. Complimentary maintenance included.
Yeah, I think there's so much truth to a bunch of the points you just said, Kent. And college golf is great. There's so much talent in college golf. At the top of college golf, there are young men who are ready to go play on tour. Their games are that good. The depth of our conference and of our competition in golf is real, and it's there. I mean, there are so many talented players. Nick Dunlap is a super talented kid. He's a great player, a great young man. He's gonna have a great career. I've watched him play, competed with him. He's great, and congrats to him. Sam as well. I'm glad you mentioned Sam, because Sam's a superstar, and we're thankful for Sam. And he played great all week. And I know it didn't end nearly the way he wanted, but he played great all week. But there's a handful of kids. Nick Dunlap is the man out there right now in college golf, in amateur golf, and he's proving, I'm ready, I can go play. And there's a lot there's a lot of others behind him, not far behind him, that can go play as well.
Is it a tough decision? And I'm speaking in general terms because I don't want to make a decision for him. Is it a tough decision for someone like him now to make with a two-year potential exemption on the PGA Tour if he goes pro?
I guess it's a tough decision. It wouldn't be if I'm the one deciding or if it's one of my players. I'd be encouraging them to go play. They've been working their lives, came to LSU for an opportunity like that, to turn pro, to go play. The Nick's going to have opportunities whether or not he decides to turn pro now, regardless.
Yeah.
But the opportunity he earned winning yesterday and proving I'm not just here to come play, I'm here to win, he earned a chance to go play, and I would be encouraging him, it's time. You got to go take it. Like, these don't come around. They're not handed out. You could play next week in the next PGA Tour event. You need to go play. You're playing good enough. You got to ride that.
Heck, Chris, the happiest guy is the guy that finished second in the tournament because he gets the winner's share of the money, $1.5 million.
Yeah, that's right.
They couldn't take the money. So the guy that finished second is like, thank you, thank you. Make this putt, win the tournament. Go ahead.
Andrew Nelson again taking time out to join us again. LSU Men's Golf will get started February 12th in Mobile, Alabama. And Coach, you know, one of the things I've often said, and I know a few golf coaches, collegiate golf coaches, and I've always said what a great job it is and what a great sport to be a part of if you're these student athletes, both men and women, for the schedules. And one of the things I do almost every year when the golf schedule comes out, just to live vicariously through you guys, is see where you're going. And Kent kind of mentioned, you know, you're headed out to, well, it's not bad to go to San Diego in March and Lafayette. But two that stood out to me is Darius Rucker, of course,
yeah,
huge golf fan. When I was in South Carolina, Hootie and the Blowfish played like local clubs.
Yeah.
Shows you how old I am. But they were kind of the local area. They played Greenville, South Carolina, where I was. They were in Columbia going to school with South Carolina. They're just big golf fans, and they've got the Hootie at Bulls Bay Golf Club tournament, which yeah. I got to believe yeah. is exciting. I have never been to Bulls Bay Country Club. I've heard a lot of good things about it. And then the SEC tournament, I have had the privilege of playing Sea Island in St. Simons. Yeah. Those two alone, again, starting with Bulls Bay, what do we know? I mean, is it a challenging course, beautiful course?
It's beautiful. I can't say personally that I've been on it enough. I have enough players who have. I know it's fairly wide off the tee, but you're on the coast there. It can be cold and really windy.
Yeah.
Whereas you go over to Seaside at Sea Island, it's narrow. It's much tighter off the tee. You got to be very sharp off the tee at Sea Island. Where at Bulls Bay, you have some room. The first hole might be 100 yards wide. There's some more space out there, but typically you get really big greens that are tiered, a lot of undulation, and you get a lot of wind. So you got to be careful really where you get the ball on the greens, that you're not putting from 50 feet up and over tiers and dealing with a lot of wind as well. So that place is beautiful. It's going to be fun to go compete there. It's been a few years since LSU's been there, so we're looking forward to going back. And then Sea Island and Seaside's always amazing and an awesome place to compete. So they're similar in where they are regionally and on the coast there, but certainly a little bit different. When we show up to Seaside, we need to be ready to hit balls in the fairway and then go hit shots close. You need to go compete playing with the SEC.
Now I'm going to step out on a limb here because I imagine there's not a bad golf course aesthetically in San Diego, California. So I have to imagine the San Diego Country Club, fairly nice place to go out and swing a club.
San Diego Country Club is beautiful. It is a fun spot. We played there 2 years ago. We won out there. We had we brought a team out there, played really well. It's comparative to a Baton Rouge Country Club, so we'll play and practice there as we lead up to San Diego Country Club. But it's beautiful. Going out to San Diego, the weather's typically great. I'm sure it will be again. And the golf course is amazing. Great greens, really pretty complex. When you walk out on the first and 10th tee, you can see the entire golf course from that spot. It's like that, not really through trees and tree line. You see the entire place. It's a really fun place, a special place to go compete.
Again, they'll start at Magnolia Grove on February 12th and 13th, and then Lambkin San Diego Classic on March 4th. any chance can't we might could I mean I think we ought to take the podcast on the road maybe and
well,
cover
I
and
mean,
cover it
do the hopefully
Harrison, you up for that? Maybe go to San Diego and follow them, like be right there in bed with them and, you know, and then report every day and do a podcast every day.
I'm okay with that. Y'all are welcome to come
there
with
we
me.
Go.
San Diego.
Right. Who do we got to talk to, Harrison? Who's got the checkbook?
Well, hopefully there's going to, you know, knock on the table here. Hopefully there's going to be about a two-week period in May when we'll be at the national championships, which are this year moving from Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm going to miss my 105, 106 degree days out there to Carlsbad, California, to the old La Costa Country Club where they held the original PGA Tournament of Champions. And the course has been completely redone for this 3 years that the NCAA is moving to La Costa for this event. And there are a lot of coaches that I've talked with and that think this may become the permanent site of the NCAA Golf Championships. Of course, the Golf Channel televises it now, and it's become a huge, huge deal. And obviously, I know you're looking forward to getting the Tigers there for the men's portion of the tournament that follows the women's portion of the tournament. That's what's great about it. Both tournaments are at the same location, one following the other.
Yeah, both are at the same site, and we're excited for the opportunity we have to go earn that. It's been a few years since we've been in the national championship. That's where we expect to be and need to be as the LSU Tigers and playing for the national championship. So that's what we're looking to do over the spring, is to go compete well. We have a chance to play at home in a regional, go take care of that, and then head out to La Costa and be there for the first time in a few years and follow up the ladies who are unbelievable. They're going to play good this spring. I know they are, and get to go out there together and go do something special.
That would be really cool. That would be really cool. I wouldn't mind those 2 weeks out there. I'll
I know,
see if I can drag you along.
I mean,
Chris,
once again, I'm rethinking the sports I decided to cover. Because, you know, I get to go to the beautiful locales of College Station and Gainesville. But I think I made the wrong choice there. I'd much rather be in Carlsbad and San Diego.
I could call baseball for a couple of days.
Oh, of course
you
could.
You could run out
of course
and,
he could.
Do that. Let me ask this. I'm curious about this. And we ask coaches a lot about their background and all. But you played at Liberty, coached at Liberty, came here. What motivated you in your younger life to become involved with golf?
Involved with golf. Well, I loved golf. I grew up playing it. I mean, I played a lot of sports, but really from the time I was 10 years old, I was pretty set on golf. I loved it. I played it. My dad played. I wanted to do whatever he was doing. And then I was hooked. So I played and competed as often as I could, pretty much daily. Played at Liberty, loved my time playing. And I did try to play a little bit after college, but really had more of a heart for young people and coaching, teaching. And I told my wife, I said, if I could do one thing, I would love to coach this sport. I don't know how that's going to work out. And here I am at LSU, and I'm blessed by that. I'm thankful for that. Very fortunate to be at LSU and to have the coaching journey that I've had. Jeff Thomas at Liberty coached me there, and he brought me back to coach with him. And that was where I really learned and kind of earned my way through this thing, to have even an opportunity to be at LSU, which I'm so grateful for.
That's cool. That's really cool. It's amazing, you know, and I relate to what you said about your father, because my dad played a lot of golf in Shreveport, and I loved coming up and playing with the group of guys he played with in the summer when he was alive. And unfortunately, all these years, all the times I've watched the women play and been with them, it just hadn't rubbed off on me by osmosis or anything. I'm still a bad hacker, but I love it. It's a fun game.
I enjoy it. I mean, I'm no good at it.
I'm no good at it, but I love it. And, you know, and like he says, you know, some of these courses are amazing, and to get to watch golf on some of these courses and watched the college golfers, it's just amazing to watch. You think you're watching a pro tournament watching some of these golfers. I mean, when you watch these events, Coach, I mean, it's like watching a junior PGA event or watching a smaller version of it, because they're just so amazing with the way the golfers play the shots.
They're amazing. They are talented young people, and they're trained very well. They're coached very well. All of these guys have coaches back home that teach them the game or the golf swing. A lot of guys who I'm very fortunate to have relationships with and work with, they're talented young people. They work very hard at it. They're trained well from a young age. I mean, by the time they're 15, 16, 17, 18, they've been doing things that typically no one ever did till they got on tour, or at least close to it. So you do walk around our events and these top collegiate events, and there are guys who are—they're literally tour players. They're a year or two away from that, or a tournament away from that. They're very talented young people.
Yeah, some of the most enjoyable time I had in my time at Georgia Southern was obviously you guys know the Schenkel Tournament, which is held there in Statesboro, Georgia, which brings a really good, always competitive field of college golf teams. And, man, that was a fun 4 days.
Yeah.
Again, just to walk the course, watch these incredible student-athletes, kind of leads us into reminding everybody, as Kent said from the outset, a chance for LSU fans really – across so many different states this spring to go out. And if you haven't done so, I invite you to do so, because, again, you get to walk these beautiful courses. You get to see these incredible student-athletes do what they do with a golf club. So in Mobile, San Diego, Lafayette, as we mentioned, this thing's not wanting to work with me, South Carolina, obviously Bryan College Station, Texas, St. Simon's Island, and as Kent said, a regional here in Baton Rouge. So if you get an opportunity, go to lsusports.net, get the LSU Sports mobile app presented by BASF, and check the schedule and go out. And obviously there's some that already do, as you mentioned, Coach, but invitation to maybe invite somebody out who maybe loves to play golf, hasn't seen a collegiate golf tournament, or maybe just somebody who wants to see the Tigers and maybe not even into golf. They may find themselves loving it after being there in person and taking it all in.
Yeah, I appreciate all of that, Chris. There's something special about getting to walk a golf course. You don't go sit in your seat and watch an entire game. You go watch a golf tournament. It's certainly different and can be intimidating, but you're getting to see the Tigers play. You can walk the golf course, get to engage in a little different way than normal, some time outside. And again, it's a chance. You have a lot of people in town that are always asking, how'd y'all play? What does it look like? Y'all played good last week. How was that? This is a real chance to come and get to see us play, see how college golf operates, see how we coach and teach these players, and get to watch them play at a really high level that not many people get to watch up close and personal. So would love to have Tiger fans out there. I'm going to encourage everyone I run into to come out and watch these guys play, because they're talented, they're special. Love to have them cheered on by everyone that can make it out.
Yeah, that final day is exciting to watch the leaderboard. I mean, it's, again, you're out there rooting for the Tigers, but just the competition down the stretch. Plenty of drama. And plenty of excitement.
Plenty of drama. There's five guys playing, right? So the scores are changing immensely. It's not just one guy in one hole. He made a bogey or he made a birdie. There could be four birdies at once, and all of a sudden things flip fast. So a lot of drama. And fun as in anything you do around here.
And that's what makes the regional in Baton Rouge so amazing to watch, because you're playing for the chance to go to nationals, and you don't necessarily have to win it, but the battle for the bottom qualifying spot is one of the most amazing that you can watch. And the perfect example was last year, the women, when them and Arkansas were in this battle on the 18th green for that final qualifying spot. I mean, it is big time drama. And I remember several years ago when the men's golf team was hopelessly out of it when they were playing up on an Ivy League course, which I maybe at Princeton, and fires like 10 or 12 under, you know, on the last 10 or 11 holes and gets the last qualifying spot. It's just an amazing thing to watch. Even if you're just watching a leaderboard, it's just, you're just kind of on the edge of your seat, refreshing it, waiting to see how it's going to happen. And that's the excitement of the regional and why it's such an important event for fans to come out and watch LSU play and watch these teams play when LSU gets to host one of these events at the University Club in May.
Well, again, Coach, I will make sure that Kent and I set the date. May 13th, we'll be there, and we'll have a. Are you working? Will you be working it?
I have a strong feeling.
I was going to say you can have.
Kent will be working. He'll be there. Though.
We'll have. I was going to say we'd have a couple of cold drinks, but I'll get you an Arnold Palmer.
No, that, right? Yeah, that'll be. You know.
All right. So again, Coach, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to keeping up with you guys this spring, which again will get underway February 12th, which is just around the corner. Andrew Nelson's been our guest this week on Play by Play. Coach, thanks.
Yeah, thanks again. Great to be here with y'all.
All right, so for Harrison Valentine, who puts it all together, and for Coach Andrew Nelson and the illustrious Kent Lowe, we thank you for stopping by on this week's Play by Play and hope you'll do it again next week. Until then, this is Chris Blair. So long, everybody, and go Tigers.